Okay, good morning, everyone. This is a very special day, at least for me for sure, to be able to be back in person. This is a day we've waited for over a year and change, to be able to come back in person and learn together. Gemara says in this week's parasha, it says in the Chumash, Kidvar Hashem Baza, that they degraded the words of Hashem. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin has an opinion. It means that anyone who's able to learn Torah and doesn't learn Torah is degrading HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So l'chayre, the opposite should be true also. If when under certain difficult circumstances, someone is able to learn Torah, meaning you get locked out of your shul, you get locked out of coming in person, and we have to go online, and we have to go on Zoom, and we have to deal with this, that, and the other, and we still continue. So I think it's an unbelievable kiddush Hashem, an unbelievable kavod Hashem. So I think the last few months it's over a year, that we've been having to navigate Zoom and been having to make it work, I think it's a great kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now, Baruch Hashem, we could be back in person and learn the way it was meant to be, close, interpersonal, face-to-face, be able to ask questions and not have to deal with the delay of time and people raising their hands. And there was something nice about just not being able to, you know, not have to be garbage people on the Zoom. You know, if I don't want to answer the question, oh, I didn't see you, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were on the Zoom.
But,
so, you know, there was some perks to that. But in any case, I am extremely happy, Shachianu, Vikimani, that we're able to be back. It's a great opportunity for us to thank the Young Israel for housing us. It's something we don't take for granted. And we just had the privilege of Rabbi Axelrod coming this morning and greeting us, which was a great covet as well, and I appreciate that. So we thank the Young Israel for giving us a platform to be able to have our shiurim here, to be able to spread Torah. But I don't think we would have made it through the last few months without our shiur manager really holding us all together with many emails. No, they used to be when I was a kid. They used to charge for text messages. You remember when text messages first came out, right? I don't know if they ever charged for emails, but if they would, it would cost someone a lot of money. But Baruch Hashem, he really kept our shiur going through a very difficult time when it was hard to learn, it was hard to get together. It's a special. I have a very deep sense of hakaras tov to Michael for all that he does for the shiur, not just for our shiur, for other shiur. But it's a big schus that we're able to get back because it was tough to survive through Corona and come back and have the shiur, especially a shiur like ours, which is much more alumnus style. It's harder to do it over Zoom. It's harder when you're not in person, and I wasn't sure if we'd make it through all the lockdowns and all the other things. But Baruch Hashem, we kept on going. We had shurim throughout all of it, and even when I got sick, we were able to pick up afterwards, Baruch Hashem. So this is really a very special day that we can get back together and learn. And Mirsh Hashem, we should be able to learn in person together for many, many more years in person, without Zoom, without any, stairs and disruptions that should affect in Yerushalayim, for sure. I do apologize that I wasn't able to make some simchas that took place here in this year, but in Mitzvah, there are other simchas that are taking place. I hope to be able to partake in, but in Mitzvah, we should only be able to get together for simchas and for learning and for good things in person in Yerushalayim for many, many more years. Okay, everybody, say, let's get back to what everyone wants to get to, which is the learning. We left off over here in the Gemara. If you remember, we left off in the Gemara. The Gemara is trying to figure out, where would there be a difference between a woman who can be get married to and a woman you could stay married to? Isha haruya lekaima, a lady that you're able to marry versus an isha that you're able to stay married to. So the Gemara says, number one, the Gemara says, the nafkamina is, we're learning Ksubas Eil Nairis. I was just talking to a Rebbe of mine the other day at a chasana. I told him that we're learning Eil Nairis here. He thought I was crazy. So you're learning Eil Nairis? I said, it was a little bit of a tough start, but I think now it's smoothing out a little bit. I didn't realize the first Amud would be so hard, so I apologize. I would have started from the next Amud in. The first Amud was complicated. But Baruch Hashem, I think now the sugya is going to get much more juicier, as we'll see. So the Gemara answers...
You didn't believe me that we're on the 25th shiur and we only learn one block.
On the
25th. I said, Nafiyomi, it's
where are we holding now? No, we turned the page now. We're actually on the Lamed Amaf. We did a blot. Yeah, we're ahead of the game. So it's more than we've done another sugya. So the Gemara answers, the Nafkimina is a Bu'ula Le'Kayin Gadol. What does that mean, a bu'ula l'kayin gadol? Which pashtus means, if a kayin gadol were to go over to a girl and be ma'aneser, would he have to pay her knas? So the Gemara says, well, it depends. A bu'ula l'kayin gadol, you can't stay married to her because she's a violation of an aseh. The Torah says a kayin gadol is only allowed to marry a besula, ki im besula miyama vikach isha. But l'maisa, the kedushin is valid because it's only an aseh. So, Frank the Gemara, one second. You told me before that Rabbi Akiva Shita is, he's the Baal Hatana over here. Rabbi Akiva Shita is, it has to be that there's no bias isser. But over here, there is a bias isser. Living with a ula is still a bias isser. So the Gemara comes up with this chap, ikabinaya bula kain gadol, umayshna, the havali asay she'in a shava bakar. And since it's an asay that's not applicable by all people, we mentioned last week of Kivega had a different way of learning the Gemara, but the way Rashi seemed to have learned the Gemara, asay she'in a shava bakar means that this does not apply to all people. There's only one man in the world that can't marry a ula. That's a kain gadol. Everyone else can marry a bu'ula. So therefore, Zakti Gemara, it's a lower level asay. If it's a lower level asay, therefore, it's considered you're able to get married. And this would be the nafkamina. So this would be...
Sorry,
Yeah.
What does it mean, Ba'ula?
It means she's no longer, she lived with a man. Now we'll get to in a second, how did she live with the first man? Right. Well, that would be the problem, because if she's no longer a Ba'ula, then she doesn't get Knas. We learned in the first year, 25 weeks ago, more like 50 weeks ago, that one of the first criteria in order to get Ba'ula, to get Knas is you have to be a Ba'ula. So this girl's a Ba'ula, so she's clearly not going to get Knas. So we're going to see Rashi and Rishayim have a whole fancy way to work this out. So again,
it's a balabatish question, but if the Kohen Gadol is an honest
girl,
doesn't he lose his Kohen Gadolship? I mean,
well, we're going to see this. In a second. He might lose it for halachic reasons, besides for hashkafic reasons. There might be some serious halachic violations over here. But yeah, again, I mentioned this when we started. During Bayis Sheni, the Kohanim Gadolim were all corrupt. Yeah. You know, as far as like we're learning the Gemara, they all died every single year Yom Kippur. Yeah. These guys were not.
It's not a great job.
Right, they're not what we're thinking of when we think of the Kohen Gadol. Like we're reading a Gemara over here, the Kohen Gadol is ma'anis a girl, and we're like something sounds wrong about this, right? Like the Kohen Gadol is ma'anis a girl, but the answer is yeah, that's what took place in the times, at least for sure in Bayis Sheni.
Would he be able to remain married to her if he gave up his being a Kohen Gadol?
No, he can't. He can't give it up. As long as he's the Kohen Gadol, he has an issue. Once he's married, calls man that he's a Kohen Gadol, he has an issue. Now the question is,
but if they put another Kohen Gadol in his place,
yeah, he's no longer Kohen Gadol. It could be that even afterwards he might still have certain dinim. I'm not sure how it works already. Right, exactly. The Gemara has a comment that you can't just go down, so it could be that he still retains some kedusha in that way. I'm just trying to mute everyone. Give me 1 second. This is why I need my staff over here.
Michael, you'll become the staff.
Do I know how to do
this? I'm not
participants. Mute all. Oh, no, we got it. Mute all. It's actually funny. Last Sunday was our last share on Zoom. And I finally figured out how to do it without my daughter. So she said, all these months you woke me up early on my day off. And now the second week before you're back, I said, yeah, that's... Everyone has to have a Shaykh HaStatari. That's a Shaykh HaStatari. She got to set up the Zoom share. Okay, in any case... Huh? My wife would have wanted that, to have her up anyways to help out. But in any case, so the problem over here that we have in this Gemara, there's a couple problems. First of all, the obvious kasha that everyone's thinking about, if she's a Ba'ula and she's not a Ba'ula. So if she's not a Ba'ula, she doesn't get Knas. The Gemara says the Nafkamin in our case over here is a Ba'ula or a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol goes over to a girl who's a Ba'ula. Ba'ula means she lived with a man. And he's ma'aniser. He rapes her. So the question is, does he have to pay? So we have a pasuk in the Chumash that says, V'loy si'eli isha, he has to be able to marry her. So the Gemara, I missed this the most. Thank you, David, I appreciate it. So the Gemara says he has to marry her, V'loy si'eli isha. So the question is, can he marry her? Well, it depends. If he gives her a ring, so the marriage will go through because it's only an aseh. But once they go through the marriage, the rabbi's going to knock on the door and say, I'm sorry, we have to break up this marriage. So the Gemara says, that's the nafkamina. So bu'ula l'kohen gadol, we would not force the marriage, we would allow the marriage to go through because it's only an aseh, but we would not want such a marriage to take place. We'd force the marriage to break up. But the problem is logistical. How do you have an example of a woman who's a bu'ula and still getting knas? It's a contradiction. Ba'ula means you were with a man. Ba'sula means you were not with a man. So how can you get knas if you're a ba'ula? So Rashi says over here, says Rashi number 2, She'ein bo lav da almonas v'gerushin. There's no other lavim involved over here. It's not like an almona to a kohen gadol, to a kohen, or to a almona to a kohen gadol, or grusha to a kohen hedjit. That's a lav. It says in the Torah, don't do. Ella asei de ba'sula yikach. All it is an asei. V'loi ba'ula. It says in the Torah, take a ba'sula, don't take a ba'ula. But Rashi has a kasha that we started to talk about last week. I'm telling you, my friend Rashi, yesh kan lav de zayna. This girl is a zayna. What's a zayna? So we think of a zayna as a prostitute. Zayna is not that. It's machlokes tanoi. A zayna is a woman who lives with a man that she's not. That's not her spouse. That's a zayna. So frekt Rashi, I don't understand. How did this girl become a ba'ula? She must have lived with someone before the kohen gadol was ma'aniser. So the moment she lived with that man, she became a zayna.
What if somebody else was ma'aniser first?
Good. We'll see. The Shidim Kubetz says like that. That the first guy was ma'aniser. Good, we'll talk about that. Well, what about the questions? 1 second. David, the follow-up to that is, would that make her a zayna if someone else raped her?
That's what I'm saying.
So we'll see. That's a fundamental shiloh.
It's in a matter of intent.
Exactly. She didn't do anything wrong. What do you want from the girl? She was behaving and some guy...
She's a bull. Doesn't matter.
No, we're here we're talking about a zayna. Different isser.
I'm saying... If she was ma'anis before,
she's still a ba'ula. You have to answer if she was ma'anis shalakadarka. We're going to have to come on to shalakadarka anyways. But the question is, al hilcha zayna. There's a din in the chumish that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a zayna. A kohen can't marry a zayna. Isha zayna v'chalol l'koch. This is actually a very serious problem, halacha l'maisa today, that kohanim deal with when they want to marry, let's say, for example, bali tshuva or gyoruses, if they had illicit relationships in their previous life, that presents a real problem for a kohen. But it says in the Torah, Isha Zayna v'chalala lo yikachu. He's not allowed to marry a Zayna v'chalala. What's a Zayna? It's a woman who lived with anyone other than her husband. So if your girl wasn't Jewish. We'll see. It's machlokes tanaim. We'll come back to it. But pashup shat, it means anyone that's not her husband. Even if it's not an iser. Two single people. They have a relation. She's not a nida. They fix all the halachic problems. But that makes her a zayna because it wasn't in the confines of a marriage. So, Frek Rashi, how are you going to have a situation? You're trying to tell me that the iser is only an asay. There's no lavim involved. Because the only thing a Kohen Gadol has is he has an asay to marry ba'ula. Frek Rashi, there's a lav of a zayna. How can this girl not be a zayna? You told me she's a ba'ula. I mean, she lived with a man. If she lived with a man, she must have lived with a man beforehand. So now she's a zayna.
Could she be
married? Oh, good. One second. But then you have another problem. Where's the marriage now? But then she's a grusha. He's not allowed to marry a grusha. And if the husband died, it's an almana. Can't marry either. What's the third option, which we spoke about last week? The Tosfos Rosh, Rabbi Chilmi Periz. He did miyun, which we'll come back to Bli Neder in a few minutes. Miyun means she got married off as a child, midrabbanan. Midrabbanan, the mother and the brothers have the right to marry off a single girl. So she, but she has the right when she becomes an adult to say, I don't want the marriage. You married me off to an ugly guy, you married off to a poor guy, you married off to a guy who's not a big lamdan, I want out of the marriage. Usually the third one's not the most common reason to end the marriage, but okay, in any case, the first two.
Marry someone who is
mute? The Kayin would, yeah. She, except for the fact that she's a bu'ula. Meaning she's not an almona, and she's technically single.
Oh, so Miyun is after they lived together?
Yeah, they were married. Again, she can't live kedarka because then she's going to lose her besulim. So right. So it's got to be that she was married to someone before, then they did Miyun, and now she's a free girl. So she's not divorced, and she's not widowed, she's just my friend, never had marriage. Like, if let's say, for example, you'd pull like a Mekach Tos type of thing, you know, that the marriage was never valid. So Rashi has the kasha, what do you do with Zayna? So look what Rashi answers. Vim Toyma Frek Rashi, Yesh Kan Lav de Zayna. She's a Zayna. Why is she a Zayna? Because again, you told me she's a Ba'ula. Ba'ula means she lived with a man. If she lived with a man, automatically she's a Zayna. Now when the Kohen Gadol is ma'anis her, he was ma'anis a Zayna. He can't marry a Zayna. Zayna is a lav. You're trying to make it that the Isra is only an Asay. And you told me, oh, she's a Ba'ula. So if she's a Ba'ula, it's only an Asay. Not true. Because she's also a Zayna. And if she's a Zayna, you're back to having a lav. And if you have a lav, it's back to being a problem. So Rashi says, no. Because who really holds if two single people live together, she becomes a zayna? That's only Rebbe Elazar. And we don't really paskin like him. We paskin, the only way you become a zayna is if you live with someone you're not allowed to. So let's say, for example, this woman would live with someone she's not allowed to live with. Then she'd become a zayna. But two single people that want to have an illicit relationship, we're not endorsing it, but it doesn't make you a zayna. That's Rashi Shita.
What's the prohibition for the Kohen to live with the woman or to marry the woman?
Well, that's part of the discussion. Well, there's definitely an issue to be married. The question is, can we even slip a marriage through? That's part of the machlokes. Is it so bad that they can't even get married? Or is it not so bad that they can't get married, but they can't stay married? That's the machlokes in the Gemara.
So they're not so troubled by the fact that he was ma'anis someone that
right.
He can't marry.
That's right.
There's something...
Right. The question is
odd about that.
Right. We're obviously not going to, honor him at the next dinner for being Kohen Gadol of the year. But the question just is, at the end of the day, can he take? Again, we have a pasuk of Eloi Seal Ishi. You have to be able to marry her, and we hold that Knas is dependent upon that condition. So the question is, can he marry her? The answer is depends who you hold like. But it only is a case of Ba'ulu or Kohen Gadol. Now, what's the problem with this Rashi? So we mentioned last week from Rabbi Chilmi Periz. We spoke about him last week. Rabbi Chilmi Periz has a kash. He says it's not true. If you look up at the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, Yevamos, it says over there in Yevamos, I think it's Yevamos, right? Okay, we're all in agreement. It says in Yevamos that Rabbi Akiva, who's the Tana of our Gemara, also holds like Rabbi Elazar, that Pana Albaya Pnuya makes a girl a Zayna. So Rashi's answer doesn't answer anything. What was Rashi's answer? Oh, don't worry, the fact that it's a Pana Albaya Pnuya doesn't make a Zayna because we don't pass him like Rabbi Elazar. He's a Das Yachid. But Rabbi Akiva is also the Das Yachid. He's in the same opinion. And since Rabbi Akiva is the Baal HaTan in our Gemara, so we have to deal with him. So the Chayr, if that's the case, so she does become a Zayna. So if she does become a Zayna, we have a lav on our hands. If we have a lav on our hands, we can't justify the marriage. That was the Kasha from last week. So the answer that the Tosfos Rosh gave was they did Miyun. What does it mean they did Miyun? It means this girl was not raped. She was not. She did not do anything wrong. She was in a relationship. Her brother and her mother married her off. They're allowed to marry her off on a rabbinic level. They marry her off until she becomes a gedolah. Then she says, I want out of the marriage. So let's think about it. So she lived with her husband. That was fine. They were married. Now she's no longer married. She's not divorced and she's not widowed. So she's perfect for the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, says the Tosfos Rosh, that's the case. The case
and
is when...
not a Ba'ula, or is she a
Ba'ula? So the question is, what about the Basulim? So you're going to have to make an akimta that what? That the husband never lived with her, Kedarka. For the whatever amount of years she lived with her husband, which was a total legal marriage.
Well, she was a Katana.
Right.
Could be years.
He married off when she was 8 until 12. Could be, you know, however young he married her off. Or she, or the family married her off. So this was...
You said 8 to 12, that's not how long.
No, I just made up an example. It's a mere, I don't know who wants to marry a... Okay, I don't know who wants to marry an 8-year-old. She probably has to be Roy Labia, yeah. She has to be Roy Labia, yeah. Right, so between 3...
Any dots, like a 6?
No, nothing. She's property, so the father can do what he wants. So therefore, Zokti Taisi Rosh...
Under a certain age, other than 3, that you're not considered a bu'ula, meaning the fact that you're...
Rishalmi says the bu'ula achayzim after 3. But other than that, they don't come back. Once they're gone, they're gone.
So in other words, whether she's 6 or 7...
Doesn't make a difference. Okay. If the psulim would be taken away, they'd be gone.
Why don't you say the brother and the mother? It could have been the father.
Look, if the father does it, then it's deraisa. You can't go back on it. No, mir is only when it's a derabbanan. The Torah says the father can marry off his daughter until she becomes a naira. This we learned when we did kiddushin, right? I'd always threaten my daughter. Now she's already bas mitzvah. I can't threaten her anymore. That I can marry you off and I can sell you. I can do what I want. You're my property. Now, my younger daughter, I can tell that too. But once they become a 12, then you can't do that anymore. But there's another rabbinic din that the mother and the brothers can marry off the daughter in the absence of the father. But that's only rabbinic. But deraisa, that's not true. And that you can do mir, right?
And she's allowed to marry Cohen after that?
So that was a kash we mentioned last week from Gershon Edelstein, who Baruch Hashem I think is out of the hospital this week. His kash is 1 second. If the whole marriage is mid the Rabbanon, so as far as Hashem is concerned, this was an illicit relationship. So she should be a Zayna Deraisa. Again, the whole marriage stands on the rabbinic status of the marriage, which means as far as Hashem is concerned and the Torah is concerned, there is no marriage between a 7-year-old girl with consent of her mother with a man. So all these years, these two people were living together, they were living in sin.
Well, nice for the other end.
No, but that was part of the Chabad Mama'enis. The whole idea of Mama'enis was...
So Lamaiso, Cohen could marry a girl who did meal.
Right.
No problem.
Yeah, so Frank Tabgeshon Edelstein, why is she not a Zayin of Deraisa? So he gave that teretz that we mentioned last week. Because since the Rabbanim were Misak and the marriage works, it works even on a Deraisa level.
So even a marriage where there was no physical relationship, that's also...
If there would be a divorce...
No,
there was. There was a Bia Shalakadaka, which we'll talk about. They lived together. They never lived together in the normal way, so they never... She still has her Basulim intact. But they lived for many years together, the husband and wife. It was a strange relationship. They never had Bia Kadarka, which is obviously weird. We'll come back to that again. Right. That's a separate kash, because since he's the husband, could be he makes her a Bula anyways. So this was the Mahalach from the Tosfos Rosh. That what? That we're talking about Yedid Miyun. Now, Rashi didn't answer this, right? Why didn't Rashi just answer this? So we'll see. We'll see in a second. Maybe why? We'll see. There's other terutzim in Rishonim, and Rashi didn't go with any of those terutzim. Rashi went with the terutz which Rabbi Chilmi Pariz asks on and says it does. It's against the Gemara. So we're gonna have to see what's Pshat Rashi. But we didn't finish Rashi for a second. What? Exactly. So
if the father doesn't, it's under Rashi.
No. If the father does, there's no mean. You can't back out. The father's marriage is mine.
I'm saying so.
It's only when the mother and the brothers do it.
That's
the Rabbanon, right? Midrash, they have no right to marry.
There's no din derisa mia.
No. That's right. So the rabbinic thing, because the whole marriage is rabbinic. So since the Rabbanon gave the marriage, they also gave her the right to get out of the marriage. Now let's look at the last two lines of Rashi. We didn't get to it, Rashi. So again, so first kasha Rashi had was why she not a zayna. So Rashi's answer was because we hold she doesn't become a zayna. But Zak Rashi, what's like? How does she still have besulim? Zak Rashi, ubu'ula shalai kadarka airi. Whatever she did with number one, the man number one, was also like kadarka, the ikadarka so like a knas. Because again, according to Rashi, this girl had a boyfriend, called today in English a boyfriend. They were not married, but he was not usher to her, she was not usher to him. They just lived together, no problem, whatever. Obviously not endorsed again, but gotta be careful what we say today. But they lived together. Then, the kohen gadol is manas her. So therefore she's a ba'ula, because she lost her besulim from Abiy Shalai Kadarka, that made her a ba'ula, but she still has besulim. So now when the Kohen Gadol is ma'anis her, now she can perhaps get knas. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. So again, according to Rashi, the first man in this woman's life was not an isser. It was a regular boyfriend, which does not make her a zayin. That's Rashi's pshat. According to Rabbi Chilmi Pariz, what's the pshat? The pshat was she was married. That's how she lost the title besula. Right, that's the case.
She didn't make her a zona, but she's a
right, that's why she's a bu'ula l'kayin gadol, and that's the case in the Gemara. But we hold a bu'ula l'kayin gadol because it's an asei she'in ishava b'koil. It's not an asei that applies to all the world, it's a lower level. And that's why it's an afkamin in our Gemara. Yeah.
I'm confused. With the boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's not an isser. She's a nida.
I told you, they took care of the nida problem. They took care of it. She went to the mikvah. They took care of it.
Guy in the shir, you know all
that. That's right, he took care of it.
So therefore, Mamela, so when it comes to the Kohen Gadol now...
So now she's just a Bu'ula. She has no, she's not a Zayna.
So to clarify, somebody who is Bo'ula and Nida, that's not a disqualified person.
Ah, so that's the next sugi we have to get to. The next sugi is a Baal Anida, so I don't want to give away any of the answers. But Lined, when we get to the next sugi, who knows when, hopefully soon, we'll talk about Nida. Nida is a very funny situation, because it is a Chayvi Krisis, but it's a unique type of case, because it's Krisis Kedushin to a Nida. Right, we all know such a thing called a Chopas Nida. If anyone's ever been to...
Now
we know what that word means.
Because he may be Baal Anida, that's why we... So if he was apostle for the Avoda...
Yeah, so we're going to talk about it. That's our next major sugya. That's the next sugya on Lamed Amud Aleph. Okay. If you want to get ahead of us, that's the next gemara that we're going to get up to. Now, so again, so that's Rashi's pshat. The Tosfos Rashi's pshat is because they did miyun. Now there's a third pshat from the Tosfos Rashi himself. That first pshat was from Rabbi Yochilam Miperiz. And he writes like this. Elavadi, number three. Elavadi b'hochi pligi. No, says the Tosfos Rashi, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer are in the same camp, but they don't agree completely. What's this camp? This camp says if two single people without nida live with each other, the woman becomes a zayna. So one second. So if the woman becomes a zayna, how on earth is she able to live with a kohen gadol? So he says no. It depends how many times she lives with someone else. He says ela b'bia harbe ule b'lozer afilu b'bia achas. It depends how many times she lives. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's one time. She slips up once. She makes a mistake. She lives with a guy once. That's it. She becomes a zayna. Rabbi Akiva says no. A zayna means that you do this constantly. More than once. He calls it Bias Harbe.
Is that referring to the Gemara, or is that his, how he learns?
That's how he's learning the Gemara. That's how he learns. Right. So he says, V'hasam is Sanhedrin marry with Bias Harbe. The Gemara over there in Sanhedrin that puts Rabbi Akiva in Rabbi Lazar's camp, that you become a Zayna when two single people live together. Yeah. That's talking about over there when you have many Bias.
The same guy? Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. Ulahachi loy have a Zayna. And that's why in our Gemara, she's not a Zayna, because it was a one-time thing. You'll have to make an akimta that she lived with this guy once. So therefore, she doesn't become a Zayna, but she loses the title of Pesula, she's called a Bu'ula. Then he speaks out the same Kashu, Bu'ula, Nami Lehave, the same terrorist as Rashi, she can't be considered a Pesula, she's still considered a Pesula, her Pesula are intact because it was Bu'ula, Shalai Kedarka.
Well, other than Svara, does Rabbi Akiva give us any reason why he says it has to be harmed?
So I happen to think it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah,
right, you know, you do it once, you're not considered, Zayna means like you're Mufkeres, you just give yourself up. Yeah. Here, you did it once, okay? This is the famous machloikis between Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin, right, about if you have two single Jews who live together, do they need to get a get? This was a big machloikis between Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin, about if you have two people, you know, two singles that they just decided they're not going to get married for whatever the reason is, they just live together for 35 years, like husband and wife, and they're noyik, ish v'ishtay, do they need a get or not? So possibly they don't need a get, they never got married. We learn Mesachas Kedusha, we learn Mesachas Gittin, we know. You need a get when you have a marriage, if there's no marriage. So somewhere of the opinion that no, when you're knowing, you're living like that, like Ish Vish, that becomes a type of Anishas, something like that. So
it's still a problem with living on the Akiva. You're assuming what's Harbe, so you
know. Nice, so making a Kimta. That over here was Mamish just once. It was a one-time thing. So you're going to have to say, and by Zoyna, it makes much more sense. What's a Zoyna? Zoyna, we translate a prostitute. Clearly, it's not the right translation. But it's a woman who's Mufka for Znus. This girl's not Mufka for Znus. She was Mazana once. She made a mistake.
The same guy, too, you could say that she was.
Maybe also. So that's the Tosfos Rashi's answer. But look at the Shita Mekubetzes Teretz. Shita Mekubetzes has a different pshat. He has the same kasha, number four of him, Toyim Avo Ispa Nami Lav de Zoyna. Same kasha. What do you do with the Lav of Zoyna? V'yeshloima de Kasover Pone Abola Pnuya Loyoso Zoyna. That we saw, that was Rashi. Inami. Svile de Birotson Aso Zaina, Boinus Svile de Layaso Zaina, Umarikin and Shinivla Tchila Boinus. What's the answer? That the first time she ever met a man was not a consensual relationship, like according to Rashi or according to maybe the Tosfos Rashi. She was Ma'anis. She got raped the first time. And the guy was Ma'anis or Shaloi Kedarko. Therefore, she's considered now, she's not considered a Zaina because of that. That does not take her out of the parsha of being a Zaina. And that makes.
She's still
a Basulim, so she's still a Basula, but she's still called a Ba'ula.
Someone who is permitted to her, not someone
who's not. Yeah. A regular guy, a nice Jewish boy, not such a nice Jewish boy, but he goes over to her, and he's Ma'anasa, but he's Ma'anasa Shalei Kedarka. So she's not called a Zayna. Why is she not called a Zayna? Because it wasn't consensual.
Why? She wouldn't have been called a Zayna if it was Kedarka. What's the difference?
Oh, that's the next Teretz of the Shita. No. According to this Teretz of the Shita Mekubetzes says, the fact that she has Bir Shalei Kedarka would make her into a Zayna, if it would be consensual.
Why does it make a difference whether it's Kedarka, Lo Kedarka, if you're being Ma'anes? It's involuntary.
Right. We just have to work around with the Psulim. But in theory, you're right. Now, this L'chor is a big chiddush of Shita Mekubetzes. And this is a big chakira you can really debate. What makes a woman a Zayna? A Zayna is a Psul Kahuna. Why do you have that psal kahuna? It's because you did something wrong, or because something was done to you. Well, we have a principle, oynes rachmana patri. Right, this girl did nothing wrong. She's walking down the street and some guy jumps her. Let's forget besula beula. Let's say you have a regular girl who gets raped in the book and she loses her besulim through a maises nus. Is she allowed to marry a kohen?
Why do you call it a maises nus if she got raped?
Okay, as opposed to saying there was no consensual action involved.
Oh, that's a fair question.
I want to bring out the point that she does nothing wrong, and she's forced upon, and now you're going to tell me she's called a zayin that she can't marry a kohen?
Meaning if she had it with a guy, let's say.
Even with a Jew.
Why? How's that now to a kohen? That was a relationship.
Okay, depending on what you hold about Pan al-Bala Pnuya.
Permitted situation.
Depending on what you hold about Pana al Bala Pnuya.
Okay.
I mean, let's say Imtim Tzoloyim, you hold Pana al Bala Pnuya, makes a girl a Zayna.
Okay.
What happens if the girl was raped? She's still going to become a Zayna? What do you want from the girl? So you can clarify Shtikal Chakira over here, what's Psha and the Issa Zayna? Is there Issa Zayna because a girl who made such a decision is not the girl for a Kayin? Or the Lamaik said, at the end of the day, her body was used for Znos. Whether or not, you know, you want to.
It's not
right.
It is what it is. It's a
right. So that's.
What if she's married to a Kohen and got raped?
Right? We're going to talk about that in a second. We'll come back to that in a second. So this is the Shita Mekubeses' teretz. His teretz is that the first time this girl came in contact with a man was ba'oinis. She was raped. So she doesn't become a zayna. She doesn't become a zayna. What's his second teretz? Inami b'shalai kedarka layasa zayna. His second teretz is, no, she had a boyfriend. She lived with him. They did everything. But they only lived shalai kedarka. Shalai kedarka doesn't make you a zayna. Which is also interesting, Teretz.
Yeah,
my high. Well, you know, again, that's against everything we're saying till now. Yeah. Till now, we're assuming that Shalai Kedarka makes you a Ba'ula. So here we're saying it makes you a Ba'ula, but it doesn't make you a Zayna. That's the Teretz of the Shittim
Kabetz. So clearly it goes like the other side of the Hakir.
Right. So, no, not necessarily Talizah, yeah. Bazaar. Here we're talking about what Maisa Bia creates a shame Zayna. So there's two questions over here. The question is, do you need consent to become a Zayna? Or the fact that you were used for Znus makes you a Zayna? And the second question is, what type of Znus makes you into a Zayna? According to the Shittim Kubetz, this is his last teretz, a Bia Shalai Kedarka with consent, with all the wrong intentions, still doesn't make you a Zayna. Because that's not what a Maisa Bia is. It's a different type of Bia. Yeshal don't know why it should be that way. But that's the Shittim Kubetz, this is his second answer.
The halacha, there's no chilek.
Exactly, right. It's a very strange thing. That's right.
It's not so strange. It says Gemara Kedushin, where Rebbe holds that, you know, for
marriage
only.
Right. The Machlokes Rebbe, the Tanakam over the Daf Yud, about what's the status of Bia Shalai Kedarka. So we always know, we learned this a couple times already, that Bia Shalai Kedarka is like in between Madrega of Bia. Again, if a guy's boil a Eshizish Bia Shalai Kedarka, he's going to get killed. That's us. Okay, so let.
So why can't you bring a ride from there? That changes the status. Balti goes by them, so therefore here also.
Again, so the Shittim Mekubetz is assuming that that's not enough to become a Zayna. Even though, again, it was consensual. She was not raped. She agreed. She wanted. But Lamaisa, since it wasn't Bia Kedarka, she doesn't become a Zayna. It's a Chiddush.
But yet you get Karas.
Yeah, right. You get Karas.
That's pretty unique.
It's a Chiddush. What?
The criteria that she's a Besula.
No, but for to be a Zayna? I would assume. Yeah, so that's what we have. So if we recap everything, we have a bunch of terutzim over here. We either have Rashi's terutz, that there's no problem being a mazayna because she lived with a man that she's allowed to live with. According to Bichil Miperiz, they did Mion, which means her relationship was under the context of a marriage. According to the first terutz of the Shittim Mekubetz, says that she was raped. And since she was raped, she doesn't become a Zayna. And the last teretz is that she had consensual relationship, but it was all done by Shalai Kedarka, and therefore she doesn't lose the, she doesn't become a Zayna. So Rabbi Eliashiv points out over here, number 5. Rashi didn't say any of these teretzim. Rashi had so many teretzim to give, he gave none of them. Instead, Rashi got himself into a corner by answering that he holds that Pan al Bala Pnuya doesn't make you a Zayna, to which Rabbi Chilmi Paris said, what's against the Gemara? So for Rabbi Eliashiv, why would Rashi do that? Rashi had so many other terutzim to give, and he gave the one teretz, which is shver based on a Gemara. So Rabbi Eliashiv points out, he says, "Ulechayim isvara hayinira debelazer depana abay pniyah asa zayna." Let's see how like Rabbi Eliashiv, the pana abay pniyah makes a zayna. Hainu dafka b'hoyo miritzayna. Rabbi Eliashiv assumes for Dava Pasha, like the Shita Mekubetzes, that you would only become a zayna if it was consensual. Why?
What's Pani Habal?
A single boy and a single girl. So, again, we're going in Rebbe Eliezer's world. Right? In Rebbe Eliezer's world, Pani Habal Pnuya makes you a Zayna. Says Rebbe Eliashiv, it depends. It depends. Dafka behoya birtsayno. It has to be where she consented. Why? Dinami ka'ovra al isa. Avalba nusa leka haidina. Which we saw in the Shita Mekubetzes. Rebbe Eliashiv is assuming for a given that if she were to be raped, she would not become a Zayna. Which is what the Shita Mekubetzes said. Now, points are Rabbi Yashi, v'imkein l'cheira, ma huk shel Rashi, dil ma'ayri shebol la'echot shel kedak, me'aynis. So, effectively, Yashiv, it's funny, he doesn't quote the Shidim Mekubetzes, but effectively, Yashiv, he takes it for a given that if a woman is raped, she does not become a Zayna. So, effectively, Rabbi Yashiv, so why was Rashi so concerned about how to make this woman not into a Zayna? Simple. The man, the first man, lived with her, Ba'inus, and therefore she's not a Zayna. Why does Rashi have to get himself into such a pickle? Why didn't Rashi just answer Poshut that she was Ma'anus? Says Rabbi Yashiv, Imkin, the Chari Ma'ok Shal Rashi, Dil Ma'ayri Shabbat La'echot Shal Gedaka Ba'inus, which is exactly what the Shidim Mekubetzes answers. Elamai says Rabbi Yashiv, Chazino Mizeh, the Rashi, the Gamba Oynes, Havi Zayna Lebeliezer. So Rabbi Yashiv, it's Machlikis. It's Taka Machlikis. Rabbi Yashiv thinks that Rashi holds that according to Beliezer, Ponu Abal Apnuya through Oynes, she still becomes a Zayna. So Machlikis Bishayna. Rashi, that does not answer like the Shidim Mekubetzes, he holds it's not true. He holds, I don't care how she became Nivellas. As long as she was Nivellas, even if it was against her will, she still becomes a Zayna. So what are you going to have to say in Svara? What's Pshan the Machlokes B'Shainim? Like we said earlier, what's Pshan the Issa Zayna? Is the Issa Zayna because she did something wrong, or the Issa Zayna is a reality? She is a woman that was used before. She was used for Znus, even though, again, it wasn't consensual. And we normally say, Ulanayra Loisasadover, Oinus Rachmana Patre. We always consider people that are Oinus not to be guilty. It might not be a question of guilty of crime, it might be a reality. Her body was used for Znus.
So it would just be better if they just said that she isn't a Zayna, right? But she was an object of Znus, so that's why it makes...
Well, we have to...
It's just a semantics.
Right, but the question is, does she fit the criteria of the law of the Torah?
Right.
The Torah says you can't marry a Zayna.
An object of Znus.
Right, so Lefi this...
It's not a commentary on her character.
Right, so Lefi this, you have to re-teach... When you teach the Chumash and Parshat Emor, when the Torah says, Isha Zayna v'chalolo lo'ikochu, you can't say a woman who's a prostitute. That's the wrong translation. You have to translate it, a woman that had relations.
Not totally an intent.
Not totally an intent. She was used as for Znus.
It's saying by Grusha for Kohen on Mana Kohen Gadol. Are you doing wrong?
Exactly. There's no wrongdoing. It's a reality. It's a reality. Correct. That's right. The chiddush over here is that over here it's just an oinus. Usually by an oinus we look at it as if you didn't do it. You're b'chal, not guilty.
Why use the lashon zonah?
That's true.
Well, it's only according to those.
That's true.
That's only according to those who hold committed. Person.
No, but if you hold Pana al boya Panuya makes you a Zayna, so you wonder why the Torah used the word Zayna?
Yeah, it has a last connotation.
Yeah, you're saying that Zayna, again, I think it's because the way we translate it wrongly. We translate Zayna into a prostitute, but then Lafida, that's not what it means.
But there are plenty of cases in the Torah that say, well, we know what Zayna really means.
Yeah, the Torah
that's
just...
Where we get
our,
right?
I don't know. Right, over there, right.
Right. She stole the Zayna and she didn't do anything.
Right.
That's how they understand that. That's a
Zona. Right, I just think we have in our mind a perception of that word where it doesn't fit the definitions of the Gemara.
Right. Zona.
Correct. Agreed.
For those who hold it, Zona means a unpermitted person was with her. That's how they learn it. That's how they understand it.
I agree. Yeah.
It's only a problem for those who say a permitted person.
Right. Then you have a kash of why you use that terminology. Is it my daughter learned in elementary school that a Zayin is a fruit seller?
Okay.
A fruit seller. Fruit seller.
A fruit seller?
Fruit seller. Meicher Paris.
Was this your 12-year-old?
That's how they learned when she was in elementary school. That's how they taught it. What are you going to tell the kids in elementary school? A prostitute? They don't know what those words mean. So they told her she sells fruit. Okay, fine. That's clearly a wrong definition. An innkeeper, that's another one they use. And these are all false. This is the problem. No, but this is the problem with chinuch. When you learn Mishnayis, Mesachis, Tainis, they teach you Kistash Vishamidim means sitting on a bed.
For 20,
and these white kids get so messed up. Either don't translate the word or give
don't
it.
Teach it to them.
Right, so skip around. I don't know. Don't teach a kid. You're not allowed to sit on a bed on Yom Kippur. You mess up a kid for the rest of his life. Tashmita means sitting on a bed. It's ridiculous. One thing is don't teach wrong chinuch. Wrong chinuch is always wrong. Never, you know, that's a famous story with Yaakov Kamenetsky when he came down to South Shore here. For the famous Chanukah Sabayas with the mezuzah. And the mezuzah wasn't the right height. So Rabbi Yaakov, so they lowered the mezuzah, lowered down on the wall, so the little kids can reach the mezuzah. So Rabbi Yaakov came to his son's yeshiva. You can imagine, this is his son, his pride and joy. He built a yeshiva here in the 5,000. It was a big thing. And Rabbi Yaakov tells Rabbi Yaman that don't put the mezuzah lower down. It's bad chinuch. The mezuzah is supposed to be on the upper part of the doorway. So Rabbi Yaman told him, but they can't reach. So put a chair there. Don't teach the kids wrong things. You know, this is a big thing I have with parenting. Don't teach the kids wrong. You don't want to not teach them, fine. Don't teach them zero. But to teach them wrong, the kid's going to think his whole life the mezuzah is on the lower half of the wall. He's going to...
Because you wanted the kids to reach for mitzvahs.
That's what they say? This is the way I heard the story. This is the way it's in the book. This is the way they say it over. This is, I think, the way it's in the book by Rabbi Yaakov. I've heard this over from other people also. But, there you go. Rabbi Yaakov knew what he was talking about. Rabbi Yaakov is a gewaltige pikech. In any case, yeah, that bothers me.
But
it has to be shlokadaka for our sugya, because now you're going to lose the psulim. But the chiddush, the chayyot we have on our case, on our hands, Rabbi say, is a machloekis rishayim between Rashi and the Shita about what makes a lady a zayna. Is a lady a zayna by having consensual ill relationships, or by just being used for relationships, even though she wasn't agreeing? That also makes her a zayna. So points out Rebbe Yashin, which is the chayyot pashit, that from the fact that Rashi does not answer like the Shittim Mukubetzes, that the way this girl became a bula through a ma'isa oinis, is that Rashi holds it doesn't matter. As long as she lived, even though it was not consensual, she becomes a zayna. But look at Rebbe Yashin's next kasha, very creative.
So he holds that it's a chalos.
Right, it's reality. It's not a din, it's not a punishment, it's a fact. The fact is you are a nevelas, you were used, whether or not you wanted to or not. So he writes to the Luchari Yikshul Fiza. Listen to this kasha. According to Eliezer, so now the girl becomes a zayna. Right? That's what we learned. So he says, any koyin who lives with a psula le meshkachas l'knas, she shouldn't be able to get knas. She becomes a zayna. And Neseris of mikana labo. Dari gamba nusa havi zayna lebelazer. I'm not sure why this should be true. According to this, if a kohen lives with a girl, she's a basula, and now he lives with her, so now she becomes a zayna. And now she should never get knas.
You mean
a regular kohen.
He's ma'anis.
No, even if it's consensual.
But they're not married.
Right. Which I'm not sure why in a chlambi. That's what should come out. I'm not sure why Rabbi Yashin is troubled by that, but that's the chair what should come out.
Why does he say a
kohen? Right, so I'm not sure if he means over here that if he lives with her,
there'll never be knas for a coin.
Exactly. A coin should be able to get away with being ma'anis people.
Why?
Because he's always going to create the isozoin. Coin has an isozoin also. And then he's not able to marry her. He doesn't have to pay her. So a coin is going to have a little bit of a loophole over here. He can go around taking single girls and he won't have to worry about it. He won't have any problems. Okay. That's his cash. Okay. Now, so David Kviat over here in the Sukkas David has a kasha which I was waiting for someone to ask me from last week's shir. What did we learn on last week's shir? If anyone remembers, last week's shir we learned about a Moitzi Shemra woman. The Mishnah said that if a woman gets divorced because of Moitzi Shemra, the husband has rumors that she was Mizana, so she doesn't get knas. Why? Because we think she might have been Mizana. If she's Mizana, she doesn't have Besulim. If she doesn't have Besulim, she doesn't get knas. So asks him David Kviat, I don't understand. How do you learn our Gemara? Our Gemara, you told me she was married. Our Gemara, she had a relationship with a man. Oh, but don't worry, her basulim are still intact. How can you be so sure? Once you have a woman that's out there in the world living with men, why don't you automatically have to suspect she lost the basulim also? Just like we do by a Moitzi Shemra. By a Moitzi Shemra, the moment we hear she went out of the marriage, or potentially she went out of the marriage, we right away suspect she had regular znos. And yet over here we're saying, oh, don't worry, she was married to the first guy, she had a boyfriend according to the other pshat, but it was also like Kedarka. How do we know that? Once you open the floodgates, that's it. All bets are off.
Then the kohen will tell you it was luck.
Right, the question is zinema. I'll have to talk about that. Maybe Yavedim. Yavedim.
Is an Eidach and Nami Surah?
It's a question. It's not so simple. So look at David Kviat. He has a very interesting chap between the two storylines. What's our storyline? You have a girl who had a boyfriend. Right, she had a boyfriend, and with that boyfriend, she was living business. The other case was she was Moitzi Shemra, which means she was in a marriage, and she was reported supposedly going out of the marriage. Says Reb David Kviat, that's the difference. He explains number six. The Hasa Mayri Shabo Shnayim, V'omu L'didu Tavitinu Bisurim. Two witnesses come and say, we were Tivei, your wife, Biznos. V'kivin Shehufkru Kokachat Shetovahi, Oysam Shleikid Asa Noshim Lias Tevas Pepeh, or she was Tivei Os. Meaning this married woman was very open about her wants and wishes vis-a-vis outside the marriage. So therefore, says Reb David Kviat, Hefsidah Chazakos Edagami. She loses her Chazak. We have to suspect that she did all Kol Dovah Ra, even losing her Pesulim. echad. But one guy was you know convinced this girl to do something wrong. But zelo yivsi the chaskasa.
She was in a marriage already.
No, we're going to go now with the shita mikubet says that she was not. She was in a not a marriage but
a boyfriend,
whatever it is. Then he says lo yivsi the chazakasa v'yesh lo knas v'cholze bepnuya. So Reb David Kriya thinks it depends if you're in a marriage or if you're single. If you're in a marriage and you show signs that you're going out of the marriage, we suspect you're gone, you're done, you're going to live kedarka, shalei kedarka, you lose chazaka that you're still a besura. But if you just have a boyfriend, you have a pana, you're a pana bala pnuya, and you did live with the man shalei kedarka, then we don't suspect you also lived kedarka with him.
I don't understand. If you're in a marriage, why don't we just assume you no longer have besura?
No, we're talking about a case where the marriage was was after Arison. They never lived together yet. She still has her besura intact. That's his teretz. Okay, it's an interesting, I guess, psychological analysis of the situation. But let's see the Mishnah L'Malach over. Very important Mishnah L'Malach. What's the Mishnah L'Malach's kasha? Let's go back a step. One of the terutzim in the Rishonim was that she did miyun. What does miyun mean? She was married for X amount of years. She becomes a gedola. She says, I want out of the marriage. So the marriage is botel, mevotel, mafrei. She was never married. There's only one problem. There's a Mishnah in Ksubis later on. Mishnah says in Ksubis that mema'enes ain leknas. A girl that goes through miyun and then annuls her marriage doesn't get knas. For the simple reason of, we suspect that she probably at some point lost her psulim. She was married for so many years. You tell me in all these years they never had bia kedarka. It's very strange. So, frak the Mishnah Lamelech, how could you give me a teretz that you did miyun? If you did miyun, you don't get knas. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, Mama Enes ain't la knas. So, how could this be pshat in our Gemara?
But also, isn't she a bula for sure?
That's the case of Gemara. She's a bula kohen gadol.
Right.
We're trying to figure out the case. So the rush.
Kind of that the psulim could.
That's only before three. After three already, that's not going to come back.
Why is it given that an 8-year-old girl had relations with a husband?
She was married to him.
Yeah, but she's eight.
We're not used to marrying before daughters at 8 years old. In that world where you got married at eight, I guess they also had relations at eight. I don't know. Strange for me, but I guess that was the norm. So frek the Mishnah Melech, Gavaldi Kakasha. This whole now we understand why Rashi didn't answer this. Why didn't Rashi answer Mema Enes? Because it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says if a girl does miyun, she doesn't get knas. So how could the Tosfos Rosh answer that? So frek the Mishnah Melech, number 7. He writes over Hein Emes the Kushes who Isa L'Chola Perushim. All pshat them I have a kasha. The Milo Ukmi Rashi Mema Enes. Why didn't Rashi just give you a simple teres that she did miyun? Shenivo shleikadarka, and it was always shleikadarka, teleka mishum zayna. And therefore she's not a zayna, she did nothing wrong, she was married. She was married off by her mother. She was in the context of a relationship. She is not a zayna. V'imke v'iko mishum bulu, but she's still a bulu, k'disa v'perek ha'bali v'imta. V'ri'isi v'lekuti emer v'betzalel, I saw in the gatherings of v'betzalel, this is what we call today the Shidim Mekubetzes. V'betzal Ashkenazi put together all these things in the Sefer called the Shidim Mekubetzes. Shekosa mishum Rebbe Yechiel mi'periz, v'hachamayri b'ktano shemina d'lekaznos. And the Shidim Mekubetzes gives that answer, that she did miyun. Great answer. V'fekta mishum l'melech v'avagav d'perek elu n'iris. I mean, the man is saying l'knas. Not such a good answer anymore. The Gemara says if you do miyun, you don't get knas. So if you do miyun, you don't get knas. So how can that be pshat in the Gemara? No. So the Mishnah Melech says a cute teretz. Hasa mayri b'ma'enes min ha'nesuin. It depends how far along the marriage was. If they were married just erison, after erison, you're not allowed to live together. So therefore, after erison, then we think that you know what? She probably didn't live with her husband. But if they're already married for nesuin, nesuin gives you permission to have bia. Then it's more likely that after being married for so many years, with permission to have bia, that you're not going to have bia kedarka. Is very strange. So then we assume that you lived kedarka and you lose the psulim. So you have to make nachan akimta that when that Rishonim answered that the girl in our case was mema enes, it means she was married through her mother to a man, and they only had erison,
and they never.
So you're going to have to say that they did bia when they shouldn't have. The fees that they did be when they weren't allowed to. They're like Arison. They're not allowed to have be after Arison. They did be Isser, but it doesn't make her. So that's why
she's a zoner.
So you're going to have to say it's not enough to make her a zoner. That's a good question. You're going to have to answer it's not enough to make her a zoner. So then he continues, and he writes, Hoyle, and this is going to be Shabbat. My end has been an Arison pshita the Yeshla Knas. Dumyu the Cholisha, and it's Arison and the Scarish, the Yeshla Knas, the Knas La Atzmai. Okay, we can accept that. Then he takes it one step further. So, why didn't Rashi answer this? That she did miyun, and they only had erison, and that's how she's considered a ba'ula, and she's still a basula, and she's not a bad person. Why couldn't Rashi answer that? So says the Mishnah Melech, it's Rashi l'shitasai. What's Rashi l'shitasai? If you remember, we have a big machloikis b'shoinim. Let's say a regular girl marries a regular boy, they only have erison. And then a man comes and is ma'anasar. Does she get knas or not? So on one hand, you say she's only Erisin. Erisin, you're not allowed to have Bia. So her Basulim are intact. Others say, no. After Erisin, you also lose your Knas. Because you're considered married. So it says that she did Mekubetza, it says in Mishnah Melech, that's Rashi Lishitosu. That Rashi holds, Mishnah Desvile Karif, the Issa Perak Abay Vim Duchol Bia Da'acha Erisin, Oysa Osa Kinesu Legamri. If they have relations after Erisin, that makes her now a Ba'ula. She's considered a Ba'ula. So since her Orus lived with her, Shalai Kedarka, she now becomes a Ba'ula, even though her Basulim are 100% intact. V'akochachle Aminan de Bia Erisin Osa El Ba'bia de Kedushin. Avo Ba'bia Da'acha Erisin Dina Kinesua V'chein Pasuk Rabbeinu. So he says, Rashi Lishitosu. Rashi holds that if the case would be that she was married for Erisin and her husband lived with her Shalai Kedarka, that would make her a Nesua. That would pass her for a Knas already. So Rashi couldn't answer that way. So Rashi had to come up with a different terrace that it wasn't the husband, but rather it was someone else.
Say, maybe that's only by a real marriage. Maybe Rashi wouldn't hold that by a Mian marriage.
Maybe. So again, it's hard to know. How do we treat a Mian marriage? It's a rabbinic marriage. It's not clear how we treat it. This is problem number one. Zoyna. Now we've got a bigger problem on our hands. The moment that Kohen Gadol lives with this woman, she just became a halala. Again, what happened? Let's say you have this nice girl who is not a Zoyna. Fine. Kohen Gadol walks over to her, he's ma'anasir. He just lived with someone he's not allowed to live with because she's a ba'ula. He's not allowed to live with a ba'ula. So didn't he just turn her into a halala?
Why, it's not allowed.
Halala?
No.
Ba'ula. Good. So the Mishnah Melech answers like you. The Mishnah Melech says you only become a halala if the way you lived with was a lav. But if the way you lived with is only an asay, you don't become a halala.
What's a
halala? Halala is another isser. A woman who lives with a kohen that she's not allowed to live with. A zayin is a woman who lives with any man she's not allowed to live with. A halala is a woman who lives with a kohen that she's not allowed to live with. Well, halachically, well, the question is what the children become. Children become halalim. But the question is how you get to that status.
How about the fact that it's still him? It's the same guy with the same
hair. Saying the same thing.
So let's now we got to get himself into a new shayla.
Could he make right. her a halal?
Oh.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
It's like shteim bom kechet over here.
Exactly.
So
it's like to have a raya from the fact that if you marry your own grusha,
That's right. Correct. So let's work it out. So what's the kasha? Let's just get the kasha out. The kasha is, the moment, again, we're trying to figure out that when the Kohen Gadol lived with this Ba'ula, all there was an Aseh. There were no Lavim involved. Fact Rashi, why is there no Zayna? So we figured out why there's no Zayna. Fact Rashi, but there's a Halala problem. Why? The moment he lived with this woman, she became a Halala. Now you're telling me, well, can the Kohen Gadol marry her? Of course he can't marry her. She's a Halala. So this is something we spoke about in the beginning of the parak. When do you look at, can you marry her? Do you look at it before you live with her or after you live with her? Meaning, before the Kohen Gadol lived with this woman, he could have married her. She wasn't a halala. She was a ba'ula. Now, after I lived with her, now I turned her into a halala. Well, maybe that's not how we look at it. We don't look at v'loy sili isha comparative to after the fact. We look at v'loy sili isha before the fact. That's a big machloikis rishon.
So she was a ba'ula before he was ma'anasir.
Right. But she only is a halala after I'm ma'anasir. Now, after the story, and I come to Bezin, Bezin says, oh, I'm sorry, you can't marry her. She's a halala. So we say, oh, that's it, you can't marry her, there's no knas. Or do you say, no, at the time of the Aveira, when I lived with her, or before I lived with her, at that time it was okay.
Well, why would you think that?
Which way?
Why would you think it's after?
Because that's where we're dining now. We're dining now, can I marry her, can't I marry her? And now I can't. It says in the Chumash, V'loy Silisha, you have to be able to marry her. When? Before I lived, before I did the act, or after I did the act?
So we had this mahalach.
That's part of the question. The question is, what status do I look at? Do I look at the pre or post storyline? Machlokes b'shani. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Correct.
We already had this.
That's right. That's correct.
So she was okay before this. He was ma'anasir. She was a woman that he could have married.
Correct.
Okay.
At least
not a ba'ula before.
No. She was a ba'ula, but there's no lavin. There's no lavin that stopped me from marrying her.
But why can't you say she wasn't a ba'ula? Same question. She was a regular girl.
No. In the Chesed of the Gemara, we were trying to find a case where you have a questionable case, not a simple case.
So
you're asking why couldn't the Kohen Gadol just have raped from the beginning?
Exactly.
Oh, that's a bit of Chanal Tzad in the Gemara.
But
good.
Would that be a Kenyan of Nesuah?
Oh, that's good. That we got to get to later today. That's a bit of Chanal Tzad in the Gemara. Not that she was pre-raped. The Kohen Gadol walked over to a Basula and raped her.
Exactly.
Good. Right. There's a lot of problems with that pshat. We'll get to it.
By the way, according to the second side, does anyone think the fact that I caused her to become a Chalala, she's not a Chalala. In other words, it was my doing.
So?
In other words, the first way you look at it is because you say beforehand she wasn't Chalala, right. She was before. But even the second way, does anyone say, well, At the end of the day, I'm not allowed to marry a halal.
Right.
But I caused her to become the halal.
Should that matter?
Does that make a difference?
Why should that matter?
Because I gave her that status.
Oh, exactly. Like Machzor Gishasa.
That if he ends up marrying her, it shows that the original was...
By halal or by which issue do you want to compare it to?
She's saying he ends up marrying her.
Yeah, but the problem
he wants
is,
to marry her.
Yeah, but now he can't marry her.
But if he does, doesn't that show that the original...
Oh, you want
to... That goes back to that.
Brother, he was ma'aniser. He started off being ma'aniser. Now the
ba'ula.
Right. The storyline, you have a girl who's a ba'ula. She has a ba'ula title. No lavin, only an ase. Then the Kohen Gadol goes over and is ma'aniser. So now, after the Kohen Gadol is ma'aniser, now she's also a halala. Before the Kohen Gadol was ma'aniser, she was not a halala.
She's a halala because she was not closer to him.
Right, because she lived with the Kohen Gadol, but she's not allowed to. Now, what's the simple answer? I'm waiting for someone to tell me. She doesn't become a halala if it was an act of inus. Again, she wasn't consensual. Kohen Gadol raped her. So therefore, you can answer that she does not become a halala when it wasn't consensual.
Why can't you say that she becomes a halala, but he still has to pay because he has a phone district case over here?
But that's the whole premise of the sugya.
Yeah, but only one, I can only have either, I pay Kenaz, only doctor.
That's right.
I can't marry.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's see the Shita Mekubetzes. Says the Shita Mekubetzes, number 8. The Kasha. The Pirish Rashi, the Omar Bu'ula Kvar, Harezu Biazu Shabale, Kohen Gadol Nasis Chalala. Fret Yishid Mukubet says, good. So she was a Bu'ula before the Kohen Gadol came onto the scene. Now the Kohen Gadol lives with her. He lived with a Bu'ula. He's not allowed to live with a Bu'ula. So he made her a Chalala. Vesu Ein Labo Havaya. So now they can't get married anymore. So you invite them back to square one. The whole sugi over here was to try to figure out how you can have a woman who's only considered an Ase. No Lavin. So Zoyna, we spent the last half an hour trying to figure out. Oh, what about, now we have a new problem, she's a halala. Now, says the Shinu Kubet, says, V'yeshloim akivan de b'shaz bi shabo aleha havele begava havaya el afagav delachag marbiya ein ba'avaya chai b'knas. So the Shinu Kubet gives the answer, many of you were thinking that what? When do you become a halala? When does the clock start? Does the clock start before the action or after the action? Before I walked into the scene, I can marry this woman. After I was ma'anis, who cares about after I was ma'anis? Since before I was ma'anis, I was able to marry her, she's not called a halal. That's one answer that you can give. Now, there's a Gevaldik Rambam over here, which I'm sure we're going to have trouble understanding, but the Rambam says this, number 9. Koyin Godel shenosa boigeris. Koyin Godel marries a boigeris. Ayimukas eitz, loy chilala. That doesn't make the woman into a halal. Not for our conversation. Look at this, means she lost her basulim, not through Maisabiya. She had other processes that took it out. There was a big tumult many years ago.
In the horseback.
In the 1980s, Rabbi Abadi, who I have a lot of respect for, but he's always considered politically incorrect. Yeah, he's always a Das Yochid, even though he's a massive Talmud Chacham. It's a shame. I was just listening to a shiur the other day from Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Simon is also a big, Rabbi Baruch Simon is a big Rabbi Abadi Chassid. So Rabbi Abadi was one of those who believe that oats are not one of the five grains. I also believe oats are not one of the five grains. Even though Rashi says Msachim, he holds Rashi, oats and I also stickle believe that also. So Rabbi Simon says, but he eats Cheerios every morning for breakfast. Okay. He says he doesn't make him a Zionist on them. He makes Adam on them. Because Rabbi Abadi got into his head that Cheerios are not oats are not a Zionist. So I grant I'm not such an extreme person, but I do make him a Zionist on Cheerios, but it bothers me when I make them a Zionist. So Rabbi Simon said what he used to do was he used to have cookies also. Yeah. He said, but after a while, it was getting fattening. To have cookies every morning. Every morning, you have 3-4 cookies, then you have cereal. It kind of defeats the purpose. Again, I understand that the reason why we eat Cheerios is because it's good for your cholesterol, it's good for that. But if you're eating 5 cookies, it's probably not a good idea. So, God, the other day, my son asked me, what bracha do you make in Cheerios? Because I served them Cheerios. And I had to say, Mazayan, it bothered me because I don't think so. Even though everyone says, not like me, Rav Moshe and Rabbi Soloveitchik, all the big day that over the last 50 years. But my Rebbe also, I think, is like that it's probably not a Mazayan. I tell people not to eat oat matzah. People today have a celiac problem, so they don't look for wheat matzah. I would not eat oat matzah on Pesach. It's not worth a chance. You might not be into the mitzvah. Mamish gambling. A mitzvah they have once a year to do, I would tell someone not to eat oat matzah. Unless it's mamish, they can't eat anything else. I wouldn't eat oat matzah on Pesach. You might not be into the mitzvah. Why take the gamble? Why? It's a big risk. Because studies have shown that the oats are different than all the other grains. Their physical makeup under a microscope, they look different. There was a famous professor Yehuda Felix, who was a Tyrannic fellow, lived in Eretz Yisrael. He was like a botanist, and he knew all these things. And he wrote a whole article about this, that he thinks that it's not true. He thinks it's something else. There's a Me'iri that says it's rye. I think Me'iri says it's rye or spelt, I forget which one already. But this was always a big tumult. Right, so it mixed, right. So I don't know. I'm always choishish, but I don't know if I'd go out Zevite to make a mezain. The flip side is you can have it on Pesach. Because if it's not, because the Mishnah says in Psachim that only the five grains are subjected to chametz. So Rabbi, so I met a grandson of Rabbi Abadi, who lives here, used to live here in the neighborhood. He told me that his grandfather 1 year ate oatmeal. Wow. He ate oatmeal on Pesach. He was so convinced. You have to know Rabbi Abadi is so, he does, he's a Talmud of a Baron. He was no slouch. But he feels that it's posher to him that they're wrong and he would eat oatmeal on Pesach.
I think he goes from Christian and this is about the Nida.
Yeah, he's got a lot of mechuz. So sorry, I started saying that many years ago he wanted to start a movement to have all the girls lose their besulim. Let all the girls have their besulim medically removed.
Did he hook up with Rabbi Riskin? Because that's where the whole shot.
That's that.
No, the whole shot came up between Rav Moshe and Rav Hankin
because of that. Really?
Yeah.
Well, why do you want to do this?
He figured it would make if you deal with young couples at that stage of life, which I do, it would make the Shem Baruch a lot more simple. If you don't have to worry about besulim and breaking the besulim, did you break the besulim? There's a lot of shiles that come up. So just have it all removed before. So he got a lot of controversy for that. There's a Tysus in Ksubis. There's a Tysus in Ksubis. Tysus in Ksubis says that there's a
Zachar. There's a reason he's not liquid anymore.
He's got in liquid now.
Oh, he's back?
He's back. He's been back years ago already in liquid. He has a shul in liquid.
Like page six of he's the Shibura.
I gotta always want to take my Talmidim to go visit him, but it never worked out. I don't know where he is. He's got a shul somewhere in liquid. His son's got a shul. He's got a shul. So again, so Tysus says, no, the husband's supposed to be the one to break the besulim. There's a whole Zachar about it. But in any case... Okay, so in any case, look at this Rambam. So the Rambam says, I forgot how we got sidetracked. Okay, Dr. Rambam, number 9. V'chein im bo'al b'ula b'loy nesu'in. So Dr. Rambam, if a kohen gadol lives with a girl, b'loy nesu'in, loy chilala, she doesn't become a chalala. So what's the obvious diuk? When does she become a chalala? If it's in the context of a marriage, which means if a kohen gadol goes over to b'ula, says, I want to get married to you, and they try to get married, then he lives with her, then she becomes a chalala. So what's the obvious mashmois of the Rambam? If he's ma'anis her, like in our Gemara, where there's absolutely no thought of marriage, she doesn't become a chalala. So this would be another teres to our kasha. That what we had a kasha. The moment the kohen gadol goes over to her and he's ma'anis her, she becomes a chalala. The answer is she does not become a chalala. You only become a chalala in the setting of a marriage. Now what's the kasha on the Rambam? Where do you get this from? Vushtet. So Dr. Magid Mishnah number 10, u'mashikasa v'chein imbo'a bu'ula b'loy nesu'un le'chalala poshetu. That's a given. The Alpha gave the Kaim Lon the Yesh Cholam Benoises Abulo Kineska Lamalo Dafke Benoise. It's got to be marriage. If you should over al Asay the Hu Isha Bifsoleh Yikach for Asay Vahu Asay the Kahuna Avlam Baal Beulo Shalek Derech Nesuin Ene Muzarbo Yoise Me Adam Acher Vein Isa Kahuna Le Isa Bolvat. He takes the words of the Chumash literally. Vahu Isha Bifsoleh Yikach. Yikach means to marry. So the only time a kohen gadol is not allowed to live with a b'ula is if it's in the context of a marriage. If it's not marriage, no, she doesn't become a chalala. So therefore, zok to Magi Mishnah, pshat in the Rambam. That's why the Rambam says that if a kohen gadol lives with a woman, a b'ula, not in the context of a marriage, so she doesn't become a chalala. Oh, that's perfect for us. Since in our case, the kohen gadol did not live with her for the context of marriage, he was ma'anisur. Since he was ma'anisur, she does not become a chalala. That would answer the kasha.
Does he have to give her a knas?
That's the question in our Gemara, whether or not he has to pay a knas. But the bigger question was, she has a lav now of chalala. The answer is no lav anymore. There's no lav because there's no chalala because it wasn't in the context of marriage. That's the teretz of the Ram. So, Mr. Shem, next week we'll finish this up and...
next week is
Rosh Hashanah. Oh, I forgot. Okay, it's very special. So, Mr. Shem...
Rosh Hashanah is giving shiur at 9:30, so I don't think we're going to have a shiur. Am I right? Yeah.
Whatever they tell me.